Don't you just love coming to church? Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before we get into the tithes and offerings, I just wanted to remind everyone today that if you didn't read Prayer and Praise, I'm going to do it 2 weeks, so it gives people a chance to, if they want to give. But we're going to be giving as a church to EMIC for the victims of Hurricane Helene. They actually have a team that's going out this week. I think they leave tomorrow morning. They're just going to see how far they can get at this point. I don't know if a lot of you know, but there are now islands where there weren't islands. There are sections of land that you cannot get to there's no roads into them. And so they're sending teams in certain areas to be able to see how far they can get and what kind of transportation before they start taking the teams of people that they normally take from EMIC. And they go first to the people that are connected with EMIC. They already have a church that is connected with EMIC that'll be their home base. But like Pastor Steve was saying, it's not the government that's been stepping up, it's been the church that's been stepping up. The church has been going where people are not going in the government. I'm not saying there's anything negative against the government, but what have we been praying for weeks? That the church would rise up and the church would take its rightful place in our nation. Because what happens when the church takes its rightful place? Order. Things come into order. And so most of us can't go there, but we can give an offering and we can help support those that are going. And so if the Lord brings a certain person or a church that we can give to or connect us to, that's great. But we do know that EMIC is going. And EMIC has also said if it is beyond their ability to get to places, then they're going to partner with Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham. Actually, Franklin Graham's daughter, Billy Graham's daughter was right in the middle of the hurricane. So her area was devastated by the hurricane. And so they already have people there and they have means and vehicles, and they just have a whole team of things that are on another level than most churches right now. Right? We're going to believe that more churches are going to become more equipped. And the reason why we need to have tithes and offerings is because there has to be resources. Amen? And at Redeemed Church, we know we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? And your seed is not going to fall on bad ground. I know both these organizations are above board with their finances. Amen? And so we know when we give, we are planting a seed into good soil. And you may say, I only have $20. God can take your 20. He can take your 2 loaves and your 2 fish, and he can multiply them and make it go farther than we could have ever imagined. Amen? So on your tithes and offerings, if you just mark on there, you can do HH for Hurricane Helene Relief. So HHR on your under special, and then we will be giving the offering after next Sunday. So we'll be doing it today and then again next Sunday. Just be praying about what the Lord would put on your heart to give to help to this. Amen? And so I know there's so many miracles too. I know we talked about kind of the negative part of the hurricane, but there have been so many miracles that have come out of this. Amazing stories. If you don't watch Victory News, you should watch it. They have been sharing stories of miracles, of people that had relatives right in the middle of the path that God supernaturally made a way for them to get home. I mean, just incredible stories that God is doing. And even the people that are in the midst of it have their testimonies. It's an awesome thing. So we can look at what the devil meant for harm. God is going to turn it around for good. Amen? Why? Because we, his people, are taking a stand and we're declaring it to be so. Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Numbers 31. And this is kind of a forgotten, a forgotten passage when it talks about like giving. But right now, the children of Israel have been in a war with the Midianites. The Midianites were the people that when they came over, remember Balaam and his donkey? And Balak, the king, had sent Balaam to curse the nation of Israel, and he couldn't do it. Remember that? He couldn't speak a cursing of them. He could only speak a blessing, right? And we know that even on the way, which is an amazing testimony in of itself, that Balaam was riding a donkey, and his donkey protected him three times. And we read the story, and we go, oh, yeah, the donkey talked to him. Do you know how life-changing that would be if your animal turned around and talked to you? Hello? But you know what's really sad is when you read further, Balaam continued to be on Balak's side to get the nation of Israel to turn. Mostly it's the men of Israel right now that are in this chapter. And so they sent a diversion to get the men to turn aside from their wives to other wives. Okay, so Balaam was a part of that. And that's where the story is at right now. And they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And God says, but wait a minute. We got something to deal with over here with the Midianites. Before we leave, we're taking care of this. And so they called all the men to war. And they went out, and in this chapter, they went out and plundered the nation of Midian. Just plundered them, right? But it's a war. And how many people know when you're in war, there are often, what do they call them? Casualties. You lose people, right? Even the good side loses people. All the time? No, ask the nation of Israel. Not all the time. Not all the time. In fact, when they were interviewing some people from Israel on Victory News, they said, what is it like in Israel today? This was after the bombing. And he said, you can hear the hymns of praise. You can hear the psalms of praise being lifted by every person in Israel because they know without a shadow of a doubt, this is only by the hand of God. So see, in war, we don't always have to have a casualty. But in this case, they plundered the Midians and they were dispersing the plunder for all the people, for the men that stayed and for the men that went. And then it says that in verse 48, it says, then the officers who were over the thousands of the army and the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds came near to Moses. It doesn't say that Moses called for them. Okay, this is an act from themselves. They are stepping out to do this. And they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command. So they've counted their troops, right? Why are they counting their troops? Because they're expecting to see somebody's missing. They've just been in war with a nation that's bigger than them, by the way. They've just been at war with a nation, so they were looking for casualties. They said, we took account of the men who were at war under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not a man of us is missing. Amen. How many times have there been something that's been huge in your area, like weather-wise? And what do? You're calling around, finding out. Is everybody okay? Are you okay? Are you doing okay? Do you have power? Do you have food? Do you have water? And what a relief to your heart to know that none are missing, right? Everybody's okay. Everybody's doing all right. I know that same relief when things happen as a church, we're giving all out of the texts and the emails. Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? And there's that relief that happens. But these officers took it a step further. Because that's what happens when you have a grateful heart. You want to give. You want to give. So they'd done a count. Nobody was missing. And they said in verse 50, therefore we have brought an offering for the Lord. What every man found of an ornament of gold, armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from them, all the fashioned ornaments, and all the gold of the offering that they offered to the Lord. They brought in an abundance. Why? Because they were so grateful. This is October. This is often a time for harvest. This is often a time where farmers are going out and they're collecting stuff, right? We know that in Israel there was the early rain and then there was the latter rain. And right about now is the time for the latter rain to happen. And that was the fall harvest that took place. And it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of taking account of everything in your life and going, oh, nothing's missing. Nothing's missing in my life. I'm healthy. I'm at peace. My family's at peace. You see, sometimes the world tries to make us feel like there's got to be something wrong. There's got to be something missing. But I encourage you over this next month to be looking at your house as a symbol, not necessarily your house, but as a whole, your family, your loved ones, and counting your blessings. Is there anything missing? And if you look and there's nothing missing, then you should be grateful and move to the point of bringing an offering to the Lord. An offering that just says, God, you are so good, and I am so grateful, and I just want to love you back. Here's my offering, because I realize this is something supernatural. This is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing. Amen. And as you bring your offering, you bring it out of the gratefulness of your heart. Not a, all right, Lord, there you go. No. It should almost be so moving. It's like, man, Lord, I am so blessed. I am so blessed, and I am so grateful. Here's my offering, Lord. Make it a serious time. Not we give with joy, yes, but also a seriousness. Because the days in which we're living in, we don't know what tomorrow holds, right? But I already know who's in tomorrow. And that's the Lord. And he will provide for all of your needs. Just stop and thank him for where you're at right now. And be grateful. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, for all that you've done. And Father, these men, they didn't have to give the offering that they gave. They could have just kept right on going, but they recognized that where they were and the fact that they had lost nothing was only because of you. These are the same men that had been tempted by the enemy. And yet they found victory when they humbled themselves before you. God, it's not about being perfect, but it's about the work that you've done in our lives that we recognize, wow, Lord, I would not be here if it wasn't for you. And I pray over this next month, Father, that it would just be just something on our hearts throughout the week as we're doing things, that we would recognize, oh my goodness, Lord, there's nothing missing in this area. Everything I needed is here. Maybe there's you at the grocery store, and oh my goodness, everything that I needed on my list was here. Lord, I'm so grateful. Help us to stop looking for reasons to complain, but looking for reasons to be grateful, God. To be grateful. This was also the same men that complained in the wilderness. But Father, their hearts were turned to gratefulness when they saw what you had done. And that's what I pray, Lord, we would have a shifting in our minds of not looking for what's lacking, but looking to what has been provided. We praise you, Lord, for the more than enough. And we will recognize this is because of you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless every seed that's sown. Give us wisdom, Father, for the seed that we're to plant to help for those who are in Hurricane Helene. And God, we praise you for every church that has risen up, every godly nonprofit that has risen up, Lord, to take their rightful place in this country. And God, I pray for unending supply of resources for them. Unending supply. We praise you, Lord, for more than enough. For every person's needs to be met. And we give you all the praise today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Randy and Luke, you can go ahead and do the offering. When I was praying that prayer, the Lord gave me an example of reasons why we should praise. And they're just little things around your life. My parents are getting ready to build a deck. And they've had the deck supplies for several years, and my dad had mapped out where the deck was going to go and how many boards he has, and guess what? They have more than enough. There's leftover. Amen? And they got the boards before they planned for the deck. Amen? And that's just a small example, but that's what I feel like the Lord is saying. You need to be looking for these things in your own life that maybe you planned in advance, and when you got there, there was more than enough. And you may be going, oh man, I can't believe I have more than enough. That's when you step back and go, nothing's missing, Lord, and I'm so grateful. Amen? Amen.
Praise his holy name. We're going to open our Bibles this morning to, how about we go 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless this word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, yesterday I do enjoy watching sports from time to time, and I don't have, you know, a lot of the special stations. We do a lot of streaming and that kind of stuff, but just basically it's, what do we call it, antenna, TV, digital TV, that's what it is nowadays. But I've always been a baseball fan, and MLB, for whatever reason, is mostly on, like, TBS and all these crazy stations. Well, yesterday there was one on Fox, not Fox 1, FS1, but Fox. So I made it a point to sit down for a little while, and I watched this great game it was a playoff game between the Mets, New York Mets, and the Philadelphia Phillies, that's what it was. But three of my guys that I really liked back in the 90s are, like, broadcasters now. They're the analysts that break things down and all this, and one of them is Alex Rodriguez, and then there's what's his name, Poppy, the Boston Red Sox home run hitter, and then there's Derek Jeter. They're all on the same little panel, and the Mets have just had this incredible run and just kind of got hot all of a sudden, and they just keep winning, and Derek Jeter says, yeah, well, that ends today. Because nobody is beating the Phillies, basically, you know. And the game went on and on, and it was like 1-0 for the entire game until the eighth inning, and they broke away to these guys again. And Jeter said, see, basically, they're just going to close it out. They got a great pitching staff. And Alex Rodriguez sort of interrupted, and he said, yeah, but these are the New York Mets, and this is how they've been winning for the past couple weeks, is they start waking up around the eighth inning. And they still have six outs. And would you know, that's exactly what happened. They caught fire, and by the two innings later, Mets win 6-1. And they came back, and you know, these are some of my heroes from the 90s, right? And Derek Jeter says, you know what? I was wrong. Now, how humbling is that for a man with, I think, at least he has four rings, I think, and just Mr. New York Yankee to just say, you know what, I was wrong. And there's something I have to tell you that I was wrong about. When I've been teaching about, you know, the importance of being in church, which is right, all that kind of having a pastor, being in church, but I said something that the Lord corrected me on, and I need to correct myself, where I said that things you watch online, all this kind of, is like a supplement to your faith. And the Lord corrected me on that. And it comes from this verse right here in Ephesians chapter 4. And it says this, he himself, somebody say he himself, gave some to be apostles. Somebody say apostle. Some to be prophets. Somebody say prophet. Some to be evangelists. And some pastors and some teachers, right? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, but the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? And so for a long time, I've been telling people, you know what, all these other ministries are kind of like a supplement. That's not correct. Church is, you don't replace church, right? But Jesus said, it's important that we're plugging in to receive Last night, I fell asleep listening to Kenneth E. Hagin on my phone, right? He's in heaven now, but what an amazing prophet, teacher, right? So it's really important that we all plug in. And I would say this, I don't know if this is supremely accurate or not, but how do you know where to, you would probably listen to what your pastor's saying. Who is he recommending? If we go somewhere, I've been in churches before where it seemed like the pastor spends a lot of time tearing down other ministries. You'll never, somebody say never. You will never hear that from me. Never. Never. Right? So if you hear your pastor mention someone, Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Victory Network, Flashpoint, these might be areas that you might want to look at. And I know many of you already are. But the correction point was, Steve, they're not a supplement. They're part of the meal. Right? I was like, thank you. So I was wrong. Don't you love when God corrects you about things? Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why we've been using this outline from Pastor George and Terry Pearson's Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Now, this may not be, you know, what we do all of the time, but right now I really felt the Lord told me to study out and go along with their outlines, what they've been teaching on this broadcast entitled How to Be Strong in the End Times, right? And so when Jesus says march, what do? You march, right? Amen. In the foundation texts for the broadcast have been Proverbs 18:14, the Amplified Classic, which says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So see, it takes a team, really, for us to get strong in the Lord, right? Pastor is important. The Word of God is important. Obviously, being in church is important, but also plugging in and getting teaching, getting prophetic words. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I love Pastor Terry said this past week in a portion I was listening to from her, is she said you need to know where the home cooking is, right? In other words, we're not just listening to anything that's out there. It's like the Lord will specifically show you where to plug in, where to connect, where to, you know, where to feed from for your life. For me, honestly, as long as I can remember, it's always been, I guess, what they would call the Word of Faith. And my mom was telling me this past week, I had kind of forgotten, that was it your grandmother that sewed into Oral Roberts? My mom's grandmother was sending money to Oral Roberts tent meetings back in, I don't even know when that was, in the 50s, right? And I have always felt a connection to that track, that stream of teaching. So you'll hear that a lot from this ministry, right? Just because it's part of how I'm wired, who I am, right? And so it's just good to, like Pastor Terry calls it, you know, we hear a lot of preaching, but it's good to come back to home cooking because it's better to eat home cooking than fast food. Right, so amen. But the Lord shows us what that means. Amen. So finally, my brethren, and these things are, what are they designed to do? To make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Because there is a devil who's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. And I remember when we drove through a number of years ago on a Yellowstone trip, and we drove through this part of, maybe it was Wyoming, or I think it was heading toward Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at like 8,000 feet above sea level. And around here, I'd never seen these kind of signs before, because around here we'll see like little deer signs or maybe an elk sign. Out there, you see moose signs, right? And blinking like moose, and it said, one of them said, moose on the loose. You do not want to hit a moose. You ever been up close to a moose? Wow. I mean, the thing is bigger than a horse, the males, right? The horns and everything. And we have to remember that on this planet, there is a devil on the loose. And as the church, we put him under, right? We bind him, we rebuke him, but we don't just throw off restraint and just open up to whatever ideology and whatever philosophy we hear because, well, Jesus is love. Well, no, Jesus is the truth, and we love the truth. If we love the truth and know what the truth is, what's in this Bible, then we're a lot more effective at walking in love toward people, right? Amen. But those strong in the Lord, point number B here, can receive from God and resist the world. Those strong in the Lord receive from God and resist the world. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to open up and read to you that. I got to kind of put the pedal to the metal here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to throw on my readers here. Hallelujah. Leaders are readers. But know this, that in the last days, somebody say, you are here. Perilous times will come. Somebody say, perilous times. My Bible says that's times of stress. Has anyone noticed any stress trying to press in, right? Whether it's actual stress or just stress of threat, things that are threatening, right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Again, on that Yellowstone trip, we came home the back way and went through Salt Lake City, a lot big, like Mormon capital, right? And I'll always remember we were following this black Corvette, and he had a personalized license plate that said, unholy. It's like, don't even push that Mormon stuff. Unholy, right? I mean, goodness, you're going to put that on your license plate? Wow. Unloving, unforgiving. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. And that word perilous, again, means difficult and hard to bear. Amplified Classic in your notes there, it says, but understand this, verse 1, that in the last days will come, set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. And Pastor George and Pastor Terry said these following statements here. People who are pressing into sin and proud they're not walking in line with the Word of God. That's one of the signs of the end times. I mean, it's one thing to sin, to make a mistake, to do something that I know is wrong. It's another thing to persist in the sin, right? To just keep going. I know it's wrong, I know I should repent, but I'm not going to repent. In fact, I'm going to try to somehow include Jesus in the sin, like he's okay with it. That's a sign of the end times, even in the body of Christ. People that persist in doing what is wrong, refusal to repent, right? A believer with a strong spirit, somebody say, that's me. Will resist the pull of the world and pushes back with the word and the power of God. And they said this, we refuse to be sucked into the world's ways of thinking and doing. Somebody say that. Just say, I refuse to be sucked into the world's ways of thinking and doing. Because this has even crept into the God's house. Hallelujah. In this season of the year, It's the fall feasts in Israel. We just had Rosh Hashanah last week. I did look at the sky on October 2nd in the evening. I was like, is he coming? Is he coming? It's a reminder, Feast of Trumpets. It's a reminder, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, right? These things are reminders. The spring feasts of Israel have to do with things Jesus has already accomplished, right? Passover, he's the Lamb of God, he died. First fruits, he's the first fruits from the dead, he rose again. Hallelujah for that. That's where our victory is, amen? And then Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost. All those things, somebody say, those things have been fulfilled. But in the fall, there are three more feasts, which is Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, that's what that is. Rapture, somebody say, these are things that have not happened yet, right? Somebody say, that's what's next. Rosh Hashanah, the rapture, is what's happening next on God's calendar. In fact, you can, on our YouTube page, there's 8 messages on that, just to brush up on, right? And then the next one, which happens next Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, I think it's the 11th or something, is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. What that reminds us of is there's going to come a day after the rapture, 7 years later, that we all return with Jesus because Israel is about to be absolutely obliterated. And we all come back with Jesus, and it's a judgment on the enemies of God and the beginning of the 1,000-year reign on planet Earth with God. I mean, these are amazing things. And it's awesome to see that they're out literally mapped out in the biblical feasts. And the church has been ignorant to this. I have been ignorant to this for years. Right? And then the last one is Feast of Tabernacles. And that represents the day that God comes down with the holy city out of heaven. And that's the final judgment, the final harvest, game over. these are remarkable, amazing things. And in the last days, it's good to have an awareness of where we are and to be making sure that we're choosing what's right. And praying for those who we know and love who are not, right? And sowing the word, keeping on with our tithing and giving and staying in faith. And we're believing God for a mighty move even during these elections. But I had somebody ask me this past couple weeks, well, what if the elections don't go how we're believing? Well, guess what? We know who's on the throne. And no matter how these elections go, that's not changing me. I will not change. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Hallelujah, right? Amen. I'm not on a highway to hell. Like some people just seem bound and determined. I'm not going to persist. Yes, I'm a human being. Yes, I make mistakes. But when I make a mistake, I don't let it go too long before I say, Jesus, I blew it. I received my forgiveness. I was totally wrong what I just did. See, you know the kind of apology he does not like? I mean, this doesn't work with my wife, right? I'm sorry, honey, but you... what? God doesn't accept that kind of apology, right? Lord, forgive me, but this is why I... No, somebody just say, just fess up. Fess up, I messed up, like Jesse says, his 3-point counseling. He said, I got 3 points. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Hallelujah, right? So we don't let things just go on and on and on and on. And that's where the hard-heartedness and hard-headedness. Amen. And I have to remember, this is more than about Steve. This is about other people that God is using Steve to reach, to minister to. And so if Steve just insists on his own thing, it's going to affect other people, and Steve's going to answer for that. So it's best. Sir, yes, sir, I blew it, sir. I repent, sir. I receive the blood of Jesus to cleanse me and wash me of all of that. And now I'm going to carry on. Carry on, soldier. That's what the Holy Ghost says. sometimes we want to just go on and on about how sorry we are and how bad it was and how bad I feel. And the Holy Ghost will just say, you know what? Where are we going now? It's not about that. It's about where are you going now? He'll take you right on to carry on, soldier. Carry, you have your orders. Hallelujah, right? The next point they said here in their notes is we must stay spiritually fit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, says this. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. In the words of faith. Somebody say, in the words of faith, right? And of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane old wives' fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance. Glory to God. So, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Pastor George and Terry said this, proper diet, rest, and exercise are necessary for the development of a strong spirit. Now, we're not talking about God's Holy Spirit. I'm talking about my spirit, your spirit, right? So we can be spiritually weak if we neglect these things. Feeding on the Word of God will strengthen your spirit. Matthew 4:4 in the Amplified Classic says this, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word, somebody say every word, that comes forth from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, so we hear the Word of God and meditate on it, and then hear the Word of God again, and our faith grows. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that, of course, includes our reading of the Bible personally, having our personal time in the Word, but also hearing it preached. And we have, like I said, most of us have smart devices where we can plug in and hear a message every day. Read the Bible, and you should have a daily Bible reading schedule that you're on. Just pick it up. If you haven't done it in 37 days, don't make it up. Just pick up today, right? And then hear a message preached. Sundays, for me, this is the message, obviously, but I go and I refill myself because right now I'm pouring the bucket out. This is Jesse talked about how a lot of ministries that end up in some sort of a failure are because the minister wasn't replenishing themselves, right? So we're responsible to make sure that we're charged up, but we're all in the same boat, really, right? So we have to be people that know how to replenish. And it really comes with just plugging into Jesus, right? Turning him on, turning the world off, turning the noise off, and turning on his voice and putting him first. Like I said, I do enjoy some sports and some music and that kind of thing, but it doesn't come before God's word. And there are times where I just lay all that stuff aside for a season to say, you know what, I just really need to be, right? And that's why, in compliments to a lot of you who've done some of this fasting this year, that maybe you've never done fasting before, way to go. That's a weapon that will always be at your disposal, to fast and pray and lay aside things that maybe we enjoy for a season, to have even more time with the Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, all these things. And then the final point here we'll look at is we must be doers of the word. Somebody say, I'm a doer of the word. And this comes in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Remember, we talked about one hallmark of these end times is deception. And the worst kind of deception, I would say, is self-deception. Right? Where Steve's following Steve's own heart. Ooh, man, is that the lie of the age? Just whatever truth is to you, self-deception. If we're doers of the word and not hearers only, then we will avoid self-deception, right? We have the ability, Pastor George and Terry say, we have the ability and the responsibility to respond to the word. Responsibility. See, he's looking for a response. The action, the doing of the word is my response to hearing it. Hallelujah. We must put it into practice. We must put into practice the word that we hear. And the Holy Spirit shows us how to do that. Amen? Because there's a lot of things that we hear we may just not understand. And by the way, back to the persistence thing, persisting in sin, what's the letter in the middle of sin? I. The word in the middle of pride, I. So we persist in the sins that we like. What's in the middle of like? I. Because sin, a lot of sin has pleasure in it, right? It's attractive. It baits us. And it feels good to the flesh, right? And then that sin is the one that Steve can a lot more readily just persist in, persist. And that's where self-deception can start creeping. All these things, right, that we need to be in the practice of avoiding and laying aside. And James talks about why, right? James, this is James, the brother of Jesus. I've heard a Christian comedian once talking about, you know, James, WWJD. And he was talking about, he's like, no, that's not what Jesus would do. That's what James would do. Oh, hallelujah. But James, because, you know, Jesus' own family for a while thought he was nuts. And his brothers, you know, I've heard Kenneth Copeland talk about this. How would you like to have been Jesus' brother? Why can't you be more like Jesus, your brother? But James came around and Jude came around, right? And they got books in the Bible named after them, right? And it says this, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, who for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, somebody say, and continues in it, right? And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. We have the ability and the responsibility to respond to the word of God. We must put it into practice, the word that we hear, to be a doer of the word. Faith is the most important thing to learn to exercise. That's why we love the word of faith, because it's an action word. Right? To be a doer of the word, faith is the most important thing to learn to exercise. So we should be students of the faith message. Really, amen? Exercising your faith will strengthen your spirit. And we'll conclude with Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Let's see if I got this marked correctly. Yep. These are great chapters just to go back and read the whole thing, right? But these are the verses that they highlighted. Now faith is, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. And then chapter 5, verse 14 of Hebrews, back a couple pages. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, that's one of the things I really enjoyed listening to the vice presidential debate this past week. And J.D. Vance, I mean, we pray for all of them. Amen. But what he said some couple of things that were just, wow. First of all, his patience and even respect. And, you know, I thought he was amazing, right? But one of the things that he said about our nation, basically he said that very thing, is we lack discernment, wisdom. It's like we got all these resources. We just don't have, currently with a lot of our leaders, they don't have the wisdom and discernment on how to use it. And he brought up they went through the whole abortion thing. Isn't it amazing that a lot of the, you know, probably across the board almost, the Democratic Party is just grasping for straws. And it seems like they're one of their main platform things that they are pushing in commercials is killing unborn children. It's just craziness. And J.D. Vance said, you know, what we really want to do as conservatives and Republicans is simply provide more options than that. Wisdom. He's like, we understand that a lot of these young ladies get into an undesired pregnancy, but in the pressure of finances and all this kind of stuff, maybe would push them toward that, but they need to know you have other options. Wow. Wisdom and discernment. And it's one thing to point fingers at the world, but if the church, I'm talking about Christians, if the body of Christ lacks wisdom and discernment, that is absolutely tragic. Amen. So being strong in spirit will mean wisdom and discernment for our lives, to be able to clearly differentiate good versus evil, life versus death. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And that should come with us outside these four walls, don't you think? as the church? Because that's what the world maybe would say. Yeah, yeah, you and talk about that, but just don't bring it out here into the mountains of societal influence. Don't bring it into business. Don't bring that mentality into medicine or science or education or politics, right? Then what happens? Then, well, look, isn't that what they are doing? Exactly the opposite. They're bringing that into the church. They're saying, don't you bring that out here, but we'll bring it into the church. We'll tell you what a family is. We'll tell you what marriage is. We'll tell you children have 81 different gender options. But don't you dare bring that good versus evil thing based on a biblical worldview out here into Washington or Olympia, or somebody say, oh, yeah. Right, devil. So we're praying and we're taking it into the voting booth. Vote. Somebody say we vote and we pray and we intercede and we're not backing off. We're not afraid of confrontation with the devil. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. It's life and death. And we're talking about children especially. The church is going to stand and be a voice for those who have no voice. Hallelujah. But that's what I love about the America First agenda, is because if we get America healthy, if we get the church healthy, then we can bring health to the rest of the world, right? But if the church and the nation is more and more sick and more disgusting and more perverse and drugs and lawlessness, then that's I mean, that ain't where we're going. Amen? Glory to God. Let's all stand up and we'll close in prayer. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Lord today. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, for leaders and people in the church and Christians, God, that are growing up into their salvation, that are not, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 20, 30 teenage babies, but we are growing up mature as mature believers that walk in the truth of God, that walk in the love of God, that walk in our authority in the Spirit, that do not persist in sins. Hallelujah. We're cleansed of sins and washed of that. And we are effective communicators of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Effective reflections of our God to those around us in our lives. And we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Just pray this prayer after me. Say, Father God, I choose to serve you. I choose to be a person of your word, to be a doer of the word, to be spiritually fit, to be strong in the Lord, that I can be a blessing to those around me. And I'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.